Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 31 of Drinking and Eating and Breathing the Word of the Lord. Let's go to the throne of the Lord now to ask Him to bless this service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Lord, anoint Your Word with the life of Your life, and let it enter into every hearer, into their heart, souls, and mind. And Lord, let them breathe it in every day, not to try to memorize the Word of God, because we need to have the fresh bread, Your fresh bread, the Word, the fresh Word every day, in order for the water to continue in us, and the food for our strength, and the air, Your breath, for our life. Your food, Your water, Your food is life. You are food, You are our life, You are our water, You are our life, You are our breath, You are our life. Your spirit is all of these three. You're the bread of life. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's read.
Free breath and water.
What's this? Free, comma, breath, comma, and water. Amen. And everything is free. Everything that pertains to life is the life breath. I'm not talking about the physical air. We need that down here for our life here on earth, but we need God's breath. Everything here is figurative of the real thing. The real air, the air here is not the real air or the real breath. The real breath is the Spirit of God, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Which is for our eternal life. And so we have to breathe Him in. We have to be thankful for the life that He's given us here. He's given us a space of time, a dispensation of time to be able to receive Him and dispense Him into the world, into the church, to be a good testimony in the house, in the church, and in the world, or wherever we go. And in order for us to do that, we have to have God's life in us. We have to eat His Word, and as He tells us to do, that we have to eat Jesus, who is the Word of God, and drink Him on a daily basis. This is how we renew our spirit. We need to pray to Him. We need to say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," and then we need to pray to Him, and then we need to say, "Hallelujah, amen, and hallelujah." This is breathing in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This is breathing in. You try it. Just say, "Oh God." Say that.
Oh God.
Oh God. And then, "Oh God." Say it again. Okay, and then say, "Lord God, we love You.
Lord God, we love You.
Lord God, pour Your Spirit upon us.
Lord God, pour Your Spirit upon
us. Let us receive Your Spirit.
Let us receive Your Spirit.
Through Your Word. Your Word is Spirit and it's life.
Through Your Word. Your Word is Spirit and it's life.
Your living Word is Spirit and life.
Your living Word is Spirit and life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, you feel the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
This is how you breathe. We are breathing in the Lord then. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to more.
Three major chapters in the book of Ezekiel are chapter 1, chapter 37, and chapter 47.
And I like chapters 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and all the different chapters in Ezekiel. It's really a very supernatural book. And Ezekiel was a very supernatural prophet. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In chapter 1 is the fire, in chapter 37 is the breath, and in chapter 47 is the water. All the worldly, sinful, and satanic things, which include Satan and his host, are under the burning fire.
Right, the fire that's talked about in chapter 1 and throughout the Bible is hell. Hell fire. Okay, then what?
Eventually, all of these negative things will be put into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10.
Yeah, every negative thing. Everything that is negative to God, they will not receive Him. They will not, they tolerate Him to go listen to His messages, or they'll tolerate Him if they think they can get something, or if they're paid, they will open the door of the church, or they'll lift their fingers, but they get a good life, and so they tolerate the Word of God, but they don't ever receive it to do it. To do what He says. So that's called forbearance. They forbear what the Lord says. Then what?
Read that back.
Eventually, all of these negative things will be put into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10.
Yes. Okay, read it.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
And then what?
But we believers will be the members of the city of water, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 22:1.
Right. In other words, city of water, the city of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is, and there's like, the book of Ezekiel talks about all these sticks, that all the sticks have to become one stick. Amen? Because all the different tribes, they're separate. Like the dry bones in the valley, they're not connected. It's very symbolic of a church of a bunch of people that are doing their own thing. They're not connected together as one person, one church, one body. And that's like the dry bones. They're all separated. It's like a church that's not a church. It's just a bunch of people doing their own thing, interpreting the Bible the way they want to interpret it, and not receiving it as a once as the Lord has written it, as the meaning of the Word of God is. Just like the people of Israel, they were, none of them were together in as the Lord wanted them to be together as one house of God. Okay, so the Lord requires all of us to be of one spirit, one God, one Lord. Amen?
Amen.
A bunch of members put together, not scattered like the dry bones, none of them connected together. And a church that is separated, that are not one, is just like the dry bones in the valley. Okay, go ahead, read.
Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Okay, keep going.
In that which is in between the fire and the water is the breath.
Okay, in between the fire in hell and the water, the spiritual city, is breath. You have to have the breath of God in order to get into the kingdom of heaven and to stay out of hell. Amen?
Amen.
There's a firmament. And you have to receive the breath of God now. In other words, the Spirit of God. In other words, the Word of God. In other words, the water of God. In other words, the food of God. In other words, the manna of God. In other words, Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I could go on and on. Okay, then what else?
The dry bones are in need of breath.
If they're going to live, if it's just like a separated group of bones that are not connected at all in the Lord, they need to have the Spirit of God in order to give them life so that they can get up instead of dead. The Bible says that we're dead in our sins and trespasses. We're like dry bones until we accept the breath of God into us, amen?
Amen.
So that we can be reconnected with the eternal life as we were when, as Adam was when he first was created and before he sinned. His wife, he and his wife are one. Then what?
In Ezekiel 47 is the house of God, the building of God. But in chapter 37, the Lord's children are pictured as being not joined together. They are disjointed, dry bones. None of the bones are joined together. The bones are independent from each other.
Yeah, so you've got churches today that are in, everybody's got their own way. They think, well, this is the way I'm going to serve the Lord, and that's the way I'm going to serve the Lord, and they're not of the Lord. This isn't the way the Lord teaches. He says we're all members of one body. Amen?
Amen.
Not a whole bunch of sticks just going around, sticks without life in them. Because the Bible says that there's this one stick and that all the sticks have to become as one. It says that in Ezekiel, okay? I believe it says it in the second and third chapter. Okay, then what?
The bones are independent from each other. They are not one, but they are separate.
Right. You've got, doesn't it say that we have to be one unit?
Yes.
How can an army, you know, like when I was in the Navy, I mean, you had to be one unit. We all had to be 4-0 in the company that I was in, Company 869. We all had to be 4-0, which means in the Navy language, that's perfect. And even though we weren't perfect at all, we weren't saved, but in the eyes of the admirals and the chiefs and the lieutenants and the commanders and the captains, all these people, we were perfect so far as the Blue Jackets manual was concerned, because we had to memorize all the different things and we had to do what it said, and we did. And we were the best company that ever went through the Navy in USNTC, which is the United States Naval Training Center, in 70 years. And as a 16-year-old lad, I was very proud of myself then, because I made it through when there was at least half the company that was kicked out into 909 Baker and Charlie, which is the Naval United States Naval Training Center nut house, because they didn't pay any attention. They were forbearing everything that the Blue Jackets manual said. They just wanted to be lazy. Nothing. So they didn't care if their records were blackened during the time of their life. And I realized that this, if I got a dishonorable discharge, this would follow me throughout my life, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't embarrass anybody in my family, even though they were no big deal. But they were to me. I just didn't want anybody to ever bring up. I thought something is going to happen to me good in one of these days, and I might be somebody in this world, and I don't want to have a dishonorable discharge. That will be a very bad thing on my record. I want to be somebody in this world. I want to be a testimony, of somebody that really went through the fire. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I knew I wanted to do right. I wanted to have a perfect record. Even though I was put in, form school for something I didn't do, I just ran away from home and I didn't have to go, but the powers that of my family said, they thought that was the best place for me because I was rebellious. And then later for the gospel, I went to prison and also to different jails. But the Lord has delivered me from all that, and I'm a very happy person, all right? And I'm glad that I went through it, and I'm glad I endured. I'm glad I went through the fire. Because when you go through the fire, the Bible says you'll be like gold, amen?
Amen.
Pure as gold, and only gold can enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, a person that's pure as gold. All right? So we can't be a separate people. We can't all be going our own way. We have to be one unit. A 4-0 unit, because there's no imperfection that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And what a horrible thing to be imperfect and wind up in hell. If we did maybe 90% or 99% of what the Lord said to do, but we wandered off, we were like separate, a separate bone from the body, the structure of the Lord. That would be horrible to have put in all this time. And all this time, and just to be semi-chastened and so on, and then to secretly be doing something that the Bible, the Word of God, says will cause you to go to hell, into the lake of fire. What profit is there in that? It's just a waste of time, a waste of your life, a waste of your immortal life. Okay, read that again.
The bones are independent from each other.
Right, in the valley, it's pictured. It's like the church or Israel being separate from each other. Some were keeping the commandments, some were not. Some were doing part of it, and some were not. All of them had to die out on the desert because they were not perfect. Even Moses was not able to enter into the promised land because he spoke unadvisedly. And he smote the rock when the Lord told him to speak to the rock. The Lord wanted to show people that praying gets results. Speak to the rock. Pray to the rock. Rock, bring forth water. Don't be smiting it anymore. We smote it once, and that's all that the Lord wanted Jesus to be smitten. The Father wanted Jesus to be smitten. It was just once. Now, after that's a symbolic event happened, the striking of the rock once with the rod, then he says, now speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, the water will come forth. But the Lord had mercy on the people of Israel. And even though Moses did strike the rock again, he provided the water. He didn't take it out on all of Israel because of Moses speaking unadvisedly and smiting the rock. A very important... God had to punish him because it was a very important symbolic meaning to strike, that Christ would die once for the sins of the world. He's not going to, if you keep sinning, come back and die again for you. It's So Moses made it look as like, oh yeah, go ahead and sin, and then God will forgive you, and then go and sin some more, and God will forgive you again. No, you can't enter the promised land, Moses, for saying that. And for doing that, I'm not going to come back and die for people a second time. I'm dying once. That's enough, okay? The way the Lord looks at it, there's nobody worth coming and dying for twice. If they don't receive and are thankful and are praising and thanking the Lord and are sorry for him having to die once, why should he come back and die for the bunch of weasels that are not thankful and are not concerned about dying out for him because he died for you? People just want to, they think, well, our flesh wants to sin and so God will forgive us. Don't, you know, you shouldn't think that way because that isn't true. It's the devil talking to you when you think those things. Then what?
They are not one, but they are separate.
Right. Doesn't the Lord want us to be one?
Yes.
Well, the bones were all separated. I'll get into that in a message more tomorrow, talking about the bones coming together. I'm not doing that in this message. This is only a 5-page message. Then what?
These dry bones were in the middle of a valley, not high on a hill.
No, yeah, they were down below. They were dead in their sins and trespasses. They were not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. They were not one unit. They were all separated like sinners are. They're just out to make a living for themselves and for their family. And sometimes they don't even care about their family, their loved ones. They're just out there doing whatever they can to make some money to retire so that they can live a few years and then die and then go to hell. Okay, then what?
This is a picture of an ununited nation of people as Israel was before their departure from Egypt, or a church with a lot of people who are independently doing whatever they please rather than being in one spirit to please the Lord.
And to do the will of the Lord. They're doing their own will. And Jesus said, my will is not to do my own will. My meat is not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father. And if you're following me, that's going to be your will too. And if it's not your will, then you're not going to be with me. Because anyone that doesn't agree with the Father is not agreeing with me, and you're not agreeing with the conditions set forth for you to be able to have life, immortal life. You have to obey the commandments. You have to become one in Christ Jesus. The whole body has to be connected together. The whole body has to have the breath of God, the breath of life in there. Okay, then what?
The last chapter, and really the last verse of Genesis, shows in Joseph as a type of Israel, as Israel being in a coffin in Egypt.
They told Joseph, you know, that Joseph said that they put him in a coffin. That's the last verse in the book of Genesis, that he put him in a coffin to haul him out of Egypt. Amen? Which is symbolic of all Israel, because they said Joseph, all of the sticks have to be with Joseph. Amen? And so Joseph and Israel are to be one. So if Joseph is in a coffin, then all Israel is in a coffin in Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
You're in a coffin in Egypt. He said, get me out of here. You know, after I die, get my bones out of here. I don't want to be in Egypt. I want to be in where the Lord is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Read the last verse in the Genesis.
Genesis 50:26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
Hey, now will you buy my rice? Amen? Then what?
In Ezekiel 37, the children of Israel are depicted as being in graves.
Right, the children of Israel. It says that he will open their graves, because he's saying, all Israel, you're dead. But what I'm going to do is open your graves. And you're going to have one shepherd. If you believe in Jesus, then I'll open your deadness, and I'll put breath into you, and I'll open your graves and pull you out of the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Read it.
Verses 12 and 13. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God.
Read the verse before.
Okay. Then he said unto me, son of man.
And we're talking about Ezekiel here. Then what?
These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts.
Because they have need of breath. They need water. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then they won't be dry, we won't be dead, amen, and they won't be separate, but they'll be one in the Lord. If you're really in the Lord, you're going to be one, you'll want to be one body with the Lord. There's only one body, and that body is Christ, amen?
Amen.
Okay? And we are his body, and he is the head, amen?
Amen.
But in order for us to be his body, he has to be in us. How can we be part of his body if we're out of his body? The only way we can get into his body is to eat and drink and breathe him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
Yeah, because, well, they're already in the land of Israel, but he separated them, he sent them out, he dispersed them throughout the nations. Amen?
Amen.
But says, now he'll bring them back. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, but they have to turn to the chief shepherd, Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people.
You have to repeat twice. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And brought you up out of your graves.
Again. Twice here. Then what?
The dry bones scattered in the midst of the valley were the bones of slain people. Verse 9b.
Are they slain by the devil? Anyone that's not one in the body of Christ, they've been slain by the devil. You're a slain person. If you receive anything from the devil, a little leaven, a little of Satan's poison will poison the whole lump, your whole body, your whole soul, your whole spirit. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to know the Bible, isn't it? The Word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 9b, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
Oh, yeah. The four ruach, right? The four winds, and ruach into these dry bones, and breathe into them. It's the same thing, breath and wind. Amen?
Amen.
It says it in Hebrew. Go ahead.
Satan was the one who killed and buried them, their souls. The dry bones...
That's what God had to open the graves, you know. Satan killed everybody in the world by Adam's sin. And so the Lord wants to open our... We're dead in our sins and trespasses. And the Lord wants to take us out of those graves. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be one. I agree to be one if that is going to happen. Then what?
The dry bones are in need of the air, the breath, to bring them to life.
So what does the Lord do? He calls the four winds together to give them that wind, that breath, the spirit. Amen? Then what?
Expanded around the world is an expanse of air that life might exist on this earth to serve God's purpose.
Yeah, our atmosphere. We have to have it in order to have life. Amen? Air. Then what?
As the spirit, God is the real air, the breath.
Right. This air that we breathe here is not the real air, the real breath. The real air, the real breath is God's Holy Spirit. Amen? But in order for us to have life here, we have to breathe in and out. Once we stop doing that, we're dead. And once we stop breathing in and out the Spirit of God, we're dead spiritually forever and in hell forever. Make sense?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
In the air is the water, and in the water is the food.
That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Come down to the river and eat. Okay, what else?
God, as life to us, is our air, our water, and our food.
Right. The God is a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
He's our air, our water, our food, our manna, our life. God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him with their spirit and his spirit in them. Amen? That's breathing. You know, you worship, oh God. And then you pray to him. You say, oh God, exclamation point. Oh God. And then we pray. And then we say, amen, at the end of the prayer. Amen. And then hallelujah. Praise God, because we know he hears us. And we know he answers us, and we know he shows us great and mighty things. What is greater than his word? Amen?
Amen.
And the strength that we get, the food, the air, the water from his word. Amen?
Amen.
We know. And we're given the power to be able to keep the commandments. And we know that we're saved because we keep his commandments, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Are you just hearing the word of God and then forbearing what he says to do? Well, then the hearing of the word is not all that has to be done. He says, don't just hear the word of the Lord, but do. He says, the hearers and the doers are the ones that are blessed. Amen?
Amen.
I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. Amen?
Amen.
And that he that says that he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And he that hears me and does what I say is a wise man that builds his house on solid, you know, he would get on a strong foundation. Amen?
Amen.
And he that hears my words and doesn't do it is a fool. Amen?
Amen.
And they're destroyed. You're a fool if you don't do what he says. And I, you know, they have sung, I pity the fool. But I don't pity the fool. Amen? Because God doesn't pity him either. You could cry all throughout eternity, and he's not going to pity you. Okay, then what else?
When we breathe, we drink, and when we drink, we eat. The eating is in the drinking, and the drinking is in the breathing.
All right. Breathe in the Lord, and breathe out your sorrow. Breathe out your sorrows to the Lord in prayer. Amen? And breathe out if you have sins that are sins of ignorance, breathe them out to the Lord and get covered in the blood, and then breathe in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Keep that the breathing going on. Don't stop breathing here either. I must warn you about, you know, you have to keep breathing here. Now, obey me, all right? Or you're going to die. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't breathe the Spirit, you're going to die too. Okay, then what?
Furthermore, the breath is in the praising. When we say to God, O God, then our prayer, then amen, we are breathing the life of God. Also, hallelujah, praise God, we are breathing.
Yeah, you're breathing the Lord because you're praying to him. You're breathing out your prayer. You're breathing out, O God, I'm totally reliant upon you. And Lord, amen. And Lord, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
The way to breathe in our wonderful Lord, our eternal life, is to say first, O Lord, our prayer, then amen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Try that. Keep it up. So if you don't, you know, I don't care. The Lord doesn't care either. He just says to Ezekiel, just tell him. Amen. We're going to breed that. And that's what he tells me. Just tell the people. He didn't say, make him. You know, make him take the horse to the water and then stuff his face into the water and make him do what I tell him to do. He says, just tell him, that's all. And tell them to drink. And if the horse don't drink and if you don't drink, that's your hard luck. Go ahead.
As we breathe in the Lord in this way, we are watered and our thirst is quenched. We have the sense that we are filled and satisfied. We can breathe, drink, and eat the Lord by calling, O Lord, our prayer, then amen, hallelujah. By saying, O Lord, our prayer, amen, hallelujah, we get the air, the water, and the food.
There are other ways to get it too, but that's really a really great way, quick way. It's a quick fix. Yep, then what?
There is a hymn that says in the chorus of this hymn, I am breathing out my sorrow, breathing out possible sin, sin of ignorance. I am breathing, breathing, breathing all thy fullness in. We need to breathe Christ in as our life breath. We can receive Christ into our inward parts by breathing him in.
All right, now let's go to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We'll read some of that. We've already read some of it. Continue on from that point.
Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
Let's go to chapter 2. I like that. This is where the Lord is telling Ezekiel to warn the people of going to hell and how to live. Okay, go ahead, start from the beginning.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me.
Okay, now, as you know, the Lord said for me to stand up and tell all the people in the world, all the people in the world, about the Lord, not just the children of Israel. Okay? It wants the children of Israel and the people in the church, the people everywhere, because all the churches were falling away when I got saved. I don't know of anyone that was preaching the truth. Okay, because I went to a lot of places, and Sue took me to a lot of places after I got saved, and they were haywire, very haywire. Then what?
They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear...
Doesn't make any difference whether they hear and receive what you're saying, or whether they don't. I don't care. The Lord's saying right there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
For they are a rebellious house.
Because, you know, he's saying they're not going to listen, but I want you to go tell them anyway, so that they will not be able to say to me at the judgment bar of God that I never had sent a prophet unto them. Because God says, you're getting me off the hook. If you don't do that, then they're going to come before me on the final day of judgment and say, you never sent any prophet unto us. We didn't know that we were going to go to hell. How can you be a just and good God when you didn't send any prophet to us to warn us, and now we're going to hell? So God says, so that they know that I've sent a prophet unto them, you better go and tell them, whether they, look mean at you, or whether they look haughty at you. They're stupid. They're hard-hearted. They're stiff-necked. They're weasels. Okay? But you do it so that you're getting me off the hook when they get up here, because I want to send them to hell. Because they don't hear what I say, and they don't do what I say. Okay? Now, whenever you've hear somebody preaching the Word of God, God sent them to you, and you're accountable for everything you've heard, whether you like it or not. God's off the hook, and so am I. God's off the hook, and so is Ezekiel. And so is everyone that delivers their soul unto people and tell them the truth and warn them about Judgment Day and about the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
For they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
Yet shall they know there's been a prophet among them, so they can't accuse me, right? That's what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither...
No, don't worry about them, because, I'm with you. Then what?
Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell amongst scorpions.
He's talking about these evil briars and thorns, these wicked people, and he calls these, using people, a figure or type of a scorpion or serpents or snakes, he calls people, dogs and pigs. And God doesn't have to worry about you spitting in his eye, because you're not going to do that. And he's not worried about you doubling your fist up and hitting him in the stomach. Right?
Right.
You're not going to do that. Or you're not going to give him a shot in the head. Huh? You funny little monkey. Okay, then what?
Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
I don't care. Just tell them so I'm off the hook. They're not going to be able to say I didn't send a prophet. They're going to know you're a prophet too, because you're not afraid of them. If you're afraid, like Jim Baker was, and curled up in a fetal ball and tried to crawl under a couch, and then they picked him up and his feet were off the air and he was weeping. That's why I made double sure that whenever they put the camera on me, I had a big grin on my face. Because I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
for they are most rebellious.
Yes. And so are the people of the world today. They vote in Arnold Schwarzenegger for California that believes in abortion and believes in marrying homosexuals. So that's a very rebellious people that would vote in somebody that is perverted. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, the campaign now to become a big name politician is, hey, I'm a pervert, vote for me. Right? Because if I'm a pervert, I know you're all you wicked people, you perverse people, you rebellious people are going to vote for me. Amen? Because you're all perverts. So I'm one of you. Vote for me. I'm Bill Clinton. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I believe in group sex. See? Doesn't that make you feel good that I'm one of you? Why, he won hands down. Amen? That means that we're living around in a perverse, rebellious bunch of bastards. Bastards meaning is not a curse word. It just means that you are a fatherless son born out of wedlock. You didn't get married to Jesus. Jesus is not your groom. Then what?
But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house.
Now, don't you do not listen to me, because you're going to be just like them if you don't listen to me and do what I tell you to do. You're afraid to do what I tell you to do. You're afraid of people. You're going to be in the same hell with them, because the fearful and unbelieving are going to be in the same hell with these rebels, these perverts. Okay, then what?
Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee.
Oh, here it is, eating and drinking again. Eat what I give you. The Lord is personally feeding him. Amen?
Amen.
He says, here's a scroll now. Mangiare. Eat my words so that you'll have something in you to give to the people, to feed the people. Right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And when I look...
Here we are eating again. This is an eating and drinking Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And we are eating and drinking people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein.
Okay, what was in that book? The Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
God's going to send him anything different than that? No. Okay, then what?
And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe.
Yeah, because the people that are not listening are going to hell. And they're going to lament and chew on their tongue and grind their teeth and weep and wail and scream and beg and plead for eternity. And eternity is like forever. It's like hundreds of millions of years, and then hundreds of billions of years, and then hundreds of trillions of years. It's better to invest your worthless life and put it on the altar and let the Lord do with you what he will, so that you can spend that kind of time in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. I hope you enjoyed us talking about hell and heaven and drinking and eating and breathing the Lord. This is the 31st message on that in a series here. And see you next time. Bye. Mm-hmm.